Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
He's basically a Mormon, which is neither good or bad right now, but I've got a lot of research to do on that basis.
Undecided South Carolina voter, Bryn Scott. He won't be deciding on Rick Perry anymore. Perry is reportedly dropping out today after the latest Politico poll finds Romney at 37%, Gingrich at 30, and Perry at just 4. Santorum and Paul, by the way, are also way back at around 10% each. So it's another Gingrich surge defining the endgame in the Palmetto State. But you would have thought Perry might have played better down there with language like this.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school. As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion, and I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage.
So let's talk about the presidential race and religion in the presidential race with Robert P. Jones. He writes the Figuring Faith column in the Washington Post. Thanks so much for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Are you surprised, first of all, about the failure of Rick Perry in states like Iowa and South Carolina, considering everything, including his religious bent?
Well, you know, Perry showed a really strong showing early on. When he first entered the race, he had this huge event in Houston, Texas, where he had, you know, luminaries from the Christian conservative movement there. But, you know, it became very apparent. I think what I'm not surprised about is, given the number of gaffes that he's had in the debates and that he just hasn't been able to articulate himself as a really serious candidate in the race, I'm not so surprised. Because, you know, I think evangelicals want certainly someone who can identify with their values and who is, you know, understands their worldview, but they also want a candidate they can believe in who can really talk convincingly on the issues.
Perry is expected to endorse Gingrich when he drops out in about an hour. If Gingrich is just 7 points behind Romney now, that 4%, little as it is, could actually mean something if they all go over. You cited a stat in a recent column that 47% of evangelicals say they would be uncomfortable with a Mormon president. Do you know the source of that discomfort?
Right. You know, I really think it comes down to, it really is about religion. And, you know, evangelicals, we heard some comments, for example, by a very prominent pastor in Dallas, Texas, you know, calling the Mormon religion a cult. About half of evangelicals also say they don't think that the Mormon faith is a Christian religion, whereas a majority of people in the country do think it's a Christian religion. So it really does come down to some of these religious differences. And I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, although Mitt Romney is doing actually pretty well in South Carolina, from the polling that we've seen, he's actually looking at in South Carolina now 26% of the evangelical vote. He's basically in a statistical dead heat with Romney and Gingrich and Santorum, all within the margin of error in South Carolina. So he's not doing badly, but I think what we see is that he hasn't really been able to lock it down and really put it away. I think, you know, if he were a little stronger among evangelicals who play such an important role in the Republican primaries, they would have certainly helped him do that.
And yet, I think this defensiveness that he has to display against people who think that Mormonism isn't a Christian religion or think that it's a cult or whatever probably leads Romney to say things like this on the campaign trail.
That idea that we should choose people based upon their religion for public office is what I find to be most troubling, because the founders of this country went to great length to make sure, and even put it in the Constitution, that we would not choose people who represent us in government based upon their religion, that this would be a nation that recognized and respected other faiths, where there's a plurality of faiths, where there was tolerance for other people and faiths. That's bedrock principle.
So that makes Romney sound kind of secular, I guess, to defend against anti-Mormon bias compared to, say, this from Gingrich.
There's an enormous difference between a culture which believes it is purely secular and a culture which believes that it is somehow empowered by our Creator. And I always tell my friends who don't believe in this stuff, fine, how do you think we're randomly gathered protoplasm? We could have been rhinoceroses, but we got lucky this week.
Robert P. Jones, my guest, he writes the Figuring Faith column in the Washington Post. what do you make of that contrast? Does Romney say more religiously oriented things than that sometimes on the campaign trail, or is he kind of forced into sounding like a secular liberal Democrat because there's anti-Mormon bias against him?
Yeah. Well, you're right to say that this is really dicey territory for Mitt Romney, given some of the reservations that evangelicals have about the Mormon faith. But, you know, in some ways, he's borrowing a page from John F. Kennedy's campaign, right, when back in 1960, when there was considerable anti-Catholic bias in the country that the Kennedy campaign was really breaking through. And so I think Romney's borrowing a page there. But it's tricky, and it's dicey territory in a Republican primary, because one of the things we know, for example, is that particularly among white evangelical Protestants, 9 in 10 of them say that it's very important for presidential candidates to have strong religious beliefs. Now, what they're looking for there is, I think, something they can identify with. I don't think they're really looking for, a theological orthodoxy, and I think they could live with some of the differences there as long as Romney is able to make a convincing case that sort of his faith is going to inform his presidency in a way that they recognize. And I think that's the really kind of tightrope that Romney has to walk here.
Yeah. When you say evangelical, some of them don't believe that Mormonism is Christianity. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the official name. Where does the belief that it's not Christian come from?
Yeah. No, that's right. And the word that Pastor Jeffords in Dallas used was, you know, called it a cult, and there's a history of that in the evangelical community of differentiating themselves. And it's, you know, really comes down to, I mean, one fundamental thing that evangelicals believe is about sort of the revelation of God in the Bible, in the 66 books of the, you know, Protestant Bible. And one real dividing point is really about the Book of Mormon as an additional source of revelation from God, and that's where Mormons and evangelicals really part ways.
The word in the poll was discomfort. 47% of evangelicals say they'd be uncomfortable with the Mormon president, which is not a very precise measure of anything. How much do you think it will affect evangelicals' vote in South Carolina under the present circumstances? You were citing some of the stats.
Yeah, it looks like that what's been going on in the early primaries is that Romney has been running somewhere between 7 and 10 points behind his support in the general population of Republican primary voters than he is among evangelical primary voters. So it's been a drag, and so the drag depends on how big the evangelical population. Now, we're going to really see a test of this in South Carolina, where about 6 in 10 Republican primary voters are expected to be white evangelical Protestants. So that drag could be considerable. It looks to me like he's doing fairly well, but again, dragging behind. He's got 26% support among white evangelicals in a CNN Time ORC poll this week. He's running 33% among Republican voters overall. So again, about that 7-point lag, that could translate to, you know, about another 4 points he could get if he could get another get a little more stronger support there and at least run even among evangelicals where he's running now.
How do you think that translates to a general election, given what we know about Romney and Obama? Assuming Romney is the nominee, do you think a meaningful number of evangelicals would just sit out for religious reasons, maybe that 7%, or would they show up in droves for Romney because they so don't want Obama?
This is a great question. You know, my own sense is that it will make – really where this is making a difference is in the Republican primary race. You know, if Romney's able to lock it up this weekend, you know, and in the next Florida going forward, and it really is – going to be able to be the presumed candidate. When we get to the general election, I really don't think it's going to be playing that much of a role. One piece of evidence for this is really if we look back at John McCain in 2008, he had similar problems among the evangelical community. He had actually come out calling some members of the Christian conservative movement agents of intolerance.
Yeah.
And that hurt him some in the primary races. But when it came time to the general election, he still got more than 7 in 10 evangelical votes when he ran head-to-head against Obama. So
Have you looked closely at whether many people just stayed home, though, in states like North Carolina and Indiana, which have a lot of Christian conservatives and don't typically go Democratic? Obama won those states.
Right.
And I don't know if we can demonstrate it, but maybe some evangelicals just sat it out.
You know, it's a little hard to tell. I mean, typically when I look at when we look at historical turnout, evangelicals turned out at rates pretty typical for what they had in previous elections. We didn't see a wave of evangelicals sitting it out. I wouldn't really expect it to see that this time either.
Let's move from Romney to Rick Santorum. You wrote about Rick Santorum, who is Catholic, as being closer to evangelical Americans' positions on the issues than to most American Catholics' positions, and that even includes abortion. Want to lay some of that out for us?
Sure. You know, one of the very interesting things, is evangelicals are not picking Romney. They really are, and they're looking at the next two top runners. You know, they're looking at Gingrich, who is an evangelical converted to Catholicism on the one hand, and as you mentioned, the other option is Rick Santorum, who's also running fairly strongly among evangelicals. He's Catholic, longtime Catholic there. But what's interesting about it, when you look at Rick Santorum, he really made his mark in his Senate career running, as a kind of culture war conservative. So he was out there in front of the parade on things to limit access to abortion, to oppose rights for gay and lesbian Americans. And on those issues, his views actually are quite closer to evangelicals than they are for Catholics. Just one example of this is that among rank-and-file Catholics in the country, a slight majority actually supports the right of gay and lesbian Americans to marry. And Rick Santorum is strongly opposed, much like white evangelical Protestants. So there's a number of issues like this on social social justice and economic issues where he's much closer to the kind of social conservatism and economic small government conservatism than he is to kind of the Catholic social teaching tradition in the Catholic Church.
Let me throw in another couple from your article because I think people will find them interesting. You noted that in the Senate, Santorum introduced an amendment to a bill that would have encouraged the teaching of creationism or intelligent design, as that version calls it, alongside the science of evolution. Whereas the Vatican has taken the position that material science is consistent with the belief that God is responsible for the gift of life. Another one, you noted that Pope Benedict has expressed some explicit support for solving the problem of global warming, while Santorum has called it junk science. So on the evolution question, how do they reconcile the two at the Vatican? If their position is that material science is consistent, and by material science I think they do mean evolution,
right,
is consistent with the belief that God is responsible for the gift of life, how does the Vatican officially reconcile those two statements?
This is a great question. I think they reconcile the way many Americans do, actually, when we look at public opinion polls, and that is they'll affirm that evolution is the best explanation for human origins and other life on Earth, and at the same time not rule out the fact that evolution was the tool used by a divine creator to bring about, the diversity of life on Earth. So, evolution as the means by which God brought about the kind of diversity we see, and also affirm, an old Earth, millions of years old and not thousands of years old. Those are all things that can be held consistently if one thinks that evolution is really just a tool that God has used to bring about creation.
Why do you think Rick Santorum isn't popping more among evangelicals in South Carolina? You heard the news this morning, I guess, that he has now been declared the winner of the Iowa caucuses. But even before that paper shuffle of a few votes, he basically had tied Mitt Romney for first, and so that was the big news coming out of Iowa. You would think that would have given someone like Santorum a huge push going into South Carolina. And then he won that endorsement of that group of evangelical leaders in Texas over the last weekend. But he's down around 10-11% with Ron Paul, while Newt Gingrich is at 30, nipping at Romney's heels.
Right. Well, one thing that will be interesting to see is that even though, Perry is dropping out and as you said, has said he's going to endorse Gingrich, it's an open question to me whether his constituents are going to follow suit or whether they're going to go to Santorum. Because in many ways, many of Perry's followers might more naturally go to Santorum than to Gingrich, particularly if they are very interested on these social issues that we've been talking about. So it'd be interesting to me to see whether all those voters actually go to Gingrich or whether they go to Santorum. If they go to Santorum, he could actually get a boost and be running, head-to-head with Gingrich as the kind of second place winner. But you're right. We'll have to wait and see. This weekend will be a really good proxy for what's going to happen. I mean, South Carolina is the first Southern primary that we have. Again, it's 6 and 10 voters, Republican primary voters are going to be evangelical. I think it'll be a real bellwether to see how things are going to play out in the South.
Is it that even evangelical voters have the economy more on their minds this year, and so a lot of them see Gingrich as the more credible anti-Obama, the one with more fire in his belly to go out there and repeal Obama health reform and all of that stuff. And that's why more, because if it was just on religious political grounds, they would probably vote more for Santorum proportionally than they are compared to Gingrich.
Yeah, I think that's right. What we've seen consistently over the past year in public opinion polls is that jobs in the economy, national security, those things are really at the top of voters' concerns list. And when you ask about things like abortion or same-sex marriage, they consistently are dead last in voters' priorities. That's been true for really the last few years.
But not among evangelicals.
You know, actually among evangelicals, things like abortion show up a little bit higher on the list, but they're still far below the priorities of jobs in the economy, even among white evangelical voters. And so I think that's part of the story here, too, that Santorum is still putting together, I think, a convincing economic message in a way that Gingrich and Romney have already been doing.
Before we run out of time, and my guest is Robert P. Jones from The Washington Post. He writes the Figuring Faith column. Let me just get back to President Obama for a minute, and we'll probably have to come back and talk about more in depth during this, more in depth during the general election. But I have the sense that he was seen as a more religious or religion-friendly candidate than he may have turned out to be a president. Let me contrast Santorum's characterization of the president recently and Obama's description of himself in 2008. Santorum first.
He's working exactly against the things he knows works because he has a secular ideology that is against the traditions of our country and what works.
When I wake in the morning, I wait on the Lord. And I ask him to give me the strength to do right by our country and its people. And when I go to bed at night, I wait on the Lord. And I ask him to forgive me my sins. Look after my family and the American people and make me an instrument of his will.
So that was Obama as a candidate. We don't hear him as president saying, I wake up in the morning and I wait on the Lord.
Well, you know, we haven't heard it as much in the media, but, you know, there has been, you know, sometimes even during his presidency, although we're hearing, I think it's true to say we're hearing less about his faith than we did as a candidate. But still, we heard, you know, a very overtly Christian Christmas message, for example, out of the Obama White House. Similarly, around Easter last year, you know, we heard very particularly Christian, not some kind of generic, you know, religious message, but a very particularly Christian message that was very personal to him. It hasn't gotten a lot of coverage. And I'd say that what's interesting about Obama on religion is he really is one of the most articulate presidents, in my opinion, in recent memory on the role of faith in public life, and not just in his own faith, but how faith, you know, should function in public life. But he's also faced really sharp criticism about his religion, you know, charges his longtime pastor, Jeremiah Wright, held extremist views that eventually led him to distance himself from Reverend Wright. And then, you know, he's been dogged partially because of his name, partially because of some smear campaigns, but that 18% of the country, and we asked about this last year, continue to wrongly believe that he is a Muslim and not Christian, despite, you know, him talking about this a long time. So in some ways, you know, if we talk about more Romney having some challenges with his own faith, his own Mormon faith, Obama, who's a member of the United Church of Christ, has also had some problems, I think, really talking and in ways that are getting across to voters about his own faith and how it impacts his day-to-day life as the president.
That's a scary truth if 18% of Americans still don't understand that Obama is.
It's quite remarkable. That number's actually gone up since he's been in office. It was 10% when he went into office. It's fair to say that it's gone up really mostly among Republicans, all right? So this is not something that's widespread. That number is far overpopulated by Republicans.
It's a conspiracy theory wing of the party that thinks he's
right.
A secret Muslim. Robert P. Jones writes the Figuring Faith column in the Washington Post. This has been great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, Kodak shrivels in Rochester. We will take calls from anyone who grew up in any former company town and talk to former Rochester resident, our own John Hockenberry. Call us up if you grew up in Rochester, Schenectady, Pittsfield, any company town where the company has pretty much gone away. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.